Okay, you ready?
You're listening to Design Yourself, a podcast to help you figure out what it is that you want and then make it happen. I'm Sharon Lepofsky. Don't you forget, this is my life and it's gonna be good. Don't you know? Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 82 of Design Yourself. I'm your host, Sharon, and today I'm going to be talking with you all about systems for support. I will be sharing things like why having systems around support make a huge difference in the first place. So what's the point of marrying these two things? And then I'm going to get very tactical and hands-on with what some of my favorite systems are, from big picture, quote-unquote systems like my amazing life partner in crime and husband, Colin, to really hands-on productivity type tools that I'm using on the regular to make my business and frankly my life run smoothly. So that's where we're headed. Now, before I dive in, I want to give a short update on this month's theme of focus. I do a full debrief update on the blog, but there are some things that I have been percolating on as I move into the final days of February that felt fitting to share as we kind of key up into this topic of systems for support. So here's what I've been observing. There are really two primary ways that I was holding focus this month. The first was really focus on goal setting, getting things done. And the second was really almost the reverse to this. It's the idea of letting go of all that goal setting, letting go of all that focus on getting things done, and just being in the practice of being. And for me in particular, I was doing this through a daily meditation and through running. Here is what I have observed now as I move towards the end of the month. I was really holding both of these buckets with equal measure at the start of the month. I was meditating somewhere between 2 or 20 minutes in the morning. So kind of first thing, I'm an early riser, usually have an hour or more in the morning to myself before anyone else in my beautiful family wakes up. So I was taking that time to run, to meditate. And then I was also running a few times during the week, usually with my amazing neighbor, Renee. And so that was kind of the way I was setting out my day. Built in, great. And I noticed a huge difference in my clarity of thought and energy, really how I was feeling when I started my days this way. Then at the same time, so here's that second bucket, I was also clarifying my focus and goals. And here particularly, this was in my business, Point Road Studios. And I could quickly see through this process a few key inflection points and was able to move to action. So one of those things was the launch of a project that I'm very excited about and keeping under wraps still for the next couple of months, I'm betting. But there will be more on that to come, and I'll certainly share that on the podcast. But the other thing that I was realizing through this focus on goals and moving to action was that to realize the vision I have in my business, as I was really crystallizing, okay, this is what I'm looking to accomplish. Here's how that ties with mission vision. I could see that I was going to need help. I mean, even in my wildest dreams of what I can accomplish with my own two hands, I could step back and say, yeah, Sharon, it's time to bring in some reinforcements. So it was a really exciting moment. The observation inspired me right away to hire a virtual assistant, which is something I will talk about under our systems for support as well. And beyond that, really, you know, having the virtual assistant and seeing this vision really forced me to crystallize building out my systems and expanding my team more broadly. So you can see how this realization that I'm in, the practice I've been in, how this was really starting to connect into systems for support. So all of this would have made sense. Probably, I probably still would have wanted to share it related to this podcast. But then there was a detour. So in the middle of the month, so I was on this great, you know, riding high, everything's good, getting my systems in place, got this, you know, delightful new person supporting me, Becca, all things kind of working well. Then in the middle of the month, life showed up as it usually does. And for me, in this case, it was both, I mean, it was a sad moment, but also something that I think is worth celebrating for sure. And that is that my amazing grandma passed away. She went peacefully in her sleep in her own home at the ripe old age of 96. And absolutely, I'm going to miss her. She was such a, I mean, she was a huge support for everyone in my family and was absolutely a caretaker almost to the very end. But you know, some deaths do feel in the natural order of things. And so having experienced deaths that did not feel this way, I just felt, gosh, 96, did so many wonderful things, was such an amazing person. It just felt joyful. And yet at the same time, because she had passed away and I wanted to be there to celebrate her life, I picked up, went to Ohio. So things I had planned in my beautifully kept schedule and, you know, blocking out time and, having the vision for how I'd use it, things shifted, which is what happens, by the way, when life shows up. And that's when there are sad things, when there are happy things. I mean, there's what I observe both in my own life and because I have the great opportunity through coaching to be stewarding other people through their own work and life adventures. And what I see is that we don't tend to plan or expect that other things will show up, and they always do. So in the middle of the month, life showed up for me. And what happened, what my reaction was to this, that I noticed mostly without judgment, is that I clung more towards my habit of focusing on goals and getting things done versus being in the practice of being, which is to say that I let go of the meditating that went away almost completely. And my spreadsheets that were naming my revenue targets and all of those things, like those were open every day and I was really in those. And the result is that getting things done, I mean, it still absolutely happened. I was checking things off my list. However, it took a lot more effort. So again, I'm noticing it without judgment, and I will share at the end of the episode today what my focus is for March, because that will be the podcast episode next week. But let us just say that it was inspired by this month's theme of focus, and that I am really hoping to be a good head start on this to-be-named theme as I head this week. Actually, the very day that this episode is released, I'll be heading to Palm Springs, California for Alt Summit, which is a creative conference. A lot of bloggers, should be super fun. So more on that at the end of the episode as well. But that is kind of my mini update for you all on what I have been observing related to focus, and hopefully a good backdrop as we step into systems for support. As always, you can head over to pointroadstudios.com, where you will be able to get the show notes for today's episode, and that will include tools, books, resources, all of these productivity tools that I'm going to be sharing, etc. You'll be able to catch all of those over in the show notes. You will also see this week's original cover art, which features just beautiful imagery out on Route 68 in Maryland. And that was taken actually when I was on my way to Ohio to celebrate my grandmother's passing and her life. So it's really lovely, and showcases two beautiful little children who I am delighted are part of my system of support. So, okay, let us get into this topic. Here we go. So one thing that I want to start out by saying is just, why am I talking about both support and systems? You know, how do these two things fit together? And here's the thing. It's one thing to know that we need or want help. It's another thing to actually create a process of allowing this help to be received with ease. And to me, that's what a system is really doing. It's just creating easy access, the right frequency, the right clip, such that you don't have to think about it. It's the same mentality that goes into why there's, all kinds of thought leaders and CEOs of big corporations saying, I wear a uniform to work. I don't want to have to think about it. I know I'm going to put the same thing on every day or something similar to it so that I'm not wasting energy thinking about it. And that's what a good system does for us. Now, the other thing that I wanted to call out is that I recognize that for some of us, the idea of asking for help is difficult. I myself know that I have gone through this. And when I talk about hiring a virtual assistant, I can give some of my most recent up close and personal encounters with this. Since that's not the main focus of today's episode, I did want to reference that there's a really short and sweet article that was published a few years ago in Fortune's digital blog. And I am going to link to that in the show notes, but it's nice because it just walks through, what are some of those like step-by-step, what you can do to kind of get over yourself and actually recognize that asking for help really does help you. And so really it's about shifting mindset there. So if you're finding yourself in that place and that might be a good precursor, I'm going to link to that short article. And I think that could be super helpful. And then the other thing that I wanted to say is that I was inspired reading a short article about a past Design Yourself guest, Emmanuel Yamoa. And I'll link to this article about him. He's doing really cool work with Rutgers University. And he was talking about how when it comes to teams, that 1 + 1 actually equals 3. And I thought, this is so lovely and counterintuitive because, of course, 1 + 1 = 2. But when it comes to how we can amplify our efforts when we actually do get support from others, and I would argue even sometimes when that support isn't a person, but it's a system that makes things easier, that we can do more. We can be more, we can experience more. And I think that's something worth moving towards. So anyway, Emmanuel, you were inspiring me this week when I read that. And I'll link to this note about him. He's super cool. And I think you all would enjoy checking that out. Okay. So here's the other thing about how having systems around support can make a huge difference. I just this last week was running a day-long workshop on managing difficult conversations. So the whole thing was around what's the process? How do you go about approaching a difficult conversation? And frankly, I mean, as I imagine it will show up for you all as I'm saying this, I mean, when you think about a difficult conversation, like you can think of what comes to mind, and it usually creates some feelings of either fear or anxiety or anger, or, depending on if you tend towards flight or fight, generally when faced with difficult circumstances, you'll have kind of one of those reactions typically when thinking about a difficult conversation. So one of the things that really jumped out to me is that several people, as we were working through this process, observed, gosh, the thing that I realized I didn't have that I thought was so clear to me is a real sense of knowing what I wanted to communicate. What was it that I wanted to say? And I think the same thing happens with thinking about systems for support. We might think, well, okay, what I need to run towards immediately is like having the tool and having the, having the process in place to have that system around support. But the first thing you've got to know is what support is needed. So you can't jump into a system without knowing what's needed. When and only when you get clear on what's needed, you can move into creating a system to get that support with ease. So I do think that that is really important. And again, I often take people, and myself included, back to really setting vision, creating clarity around what it is that you want, so that you can move into then creating the ease around how you get there. And even that episode 5, the vision meditation that I've referenced before on the show, and that is a common tool in iterations of that short meditation, are what I will often guide people through in one-on-one work to help them get clear on that. So if you're thinking, gosh, you're right, Sharon, I do need to know what support I need, but I'm not sure, you could set a whole vision around what is it that I want for support and see what shows up. And I trust and believe that you will see exactly what you need to see from that. So that's really what I wanted to share in terms of context around how I think about systems for support, why it's important. And I think with that, we can move into what are some of my favorite systems. Again, from those big picture things like my awesome husband to the tools and resources that kind of get me tactically in the work of my business and of my life. So here is kind of the general way that I think about it. First system is just, I think of it as my people who matter. And then the second way I think about systems of support is the tools and resources. And let's just start with the first. So people who matter. It's very easy, kind of like I was saying at the top around how I focused on focus of, you know, there's the goals and getting things done. And then there's that practice of being, you know, with systems of support for me, it kind of breaks out in a similar way. There's that the people who matter, and then there are the tools and resources. And I think you can probably guess where I'm going with this, which is that the people who matter, like the stuff that makes life worth living, that's the most important. The tools and resources are just there to amplify the rest of the living that you want to be in, like having that beautiful life, not feeling like you're settling. So for me, the way that I think about people who matter, and gosh, even as I'm saying this, I'm feeling the desire to just make sure I name this disclaimer. For me, like all people matter. This is one of the things that I feel like is so core to who I am. Like everywhere I go, every interaction I'm in, I'm going to be getting on a plane to California before too long. And whoever I'm sitting next to, I'll be delighted to experience as much or as little of the people that I cross paths with, because I really do feel like every person I interact with, I have something to learn from, that they are a gift into this world. And so all people matter. And when I think for myself of systems of support of my people who matter, like this is my way of filtering out the white noise of like getting into the comparison trap of Instagram and Pinterest and what are all the people saying, like to let go of that and just say, who are the people in my life that I'm really focused on, that know me deeply personally, and that I can let go of the rest. So I kind of think about three key areas of people who matter. I think about my tribe, and I'll talk about each one of these. I think about partners in work, and I think about creative community. And for me, my tribe, like these are the people who know me best. They're who I show up with most of the time, total vulnerability. These are people like my sweet family, who's still slumbering as I record this podcast, my three little children, my husband. I think about my family of origin. So the six brothers and sisters who I grew up with, my parents, the 20 plus cousins I have, right? All my family of origin. And by the way, not family, you're the family you were born into, which is what I think of as family of origin. I mean, they might not be part of your tribe. For me, they are. So for me, these are people that I'm really close to. I think about my Matis, and you know who you are, ladies. For you all, you don't need to worry about how we came up with this term Matis, but these are my dear girlfriends from college, and the list goes on, right? There's a few other close friends, people that I count on for work. These are my tribe. And for me, a good measure of who's in your tribe is if you need feedback, or you're in a tough spot and you need help, like these are the people that are going to be on speed dial. Like these are your phone a friend people. That's your tribe. Then I think about my partners in work, and this can show up in different forms. In the entrepreneurial world, I hear people talk about, you know, these are my business besties. In professional settings I've worked in, certainly mentors or sponsors at work or something that you'll hear people talk about. as somebody who's worked in client work her whole career, I think about trusted clients as partners in work. These are the people you can call about work and ask for help. And it might be because you're looking for ways to improve. You're looking at how you can promote growth, both in your bottom line and also in your own humanness and your growth in the role. So partners in work, that person or hopefully people who are resources for you as you think about work. For me, I certainly have a core group of fellow business owners who, when I have questions or I'm brainstorming, really looking for breakthroughs on my own business, that I will lean on. A couple of them, and they've been on the podcast, Catherine and Elena of StoryMine. I'm in a regular conversation, typically every couple weeks, sometimes more or less frequently, depending on where we're at in our businesses, and that I'm talking to regularly. I've also worked with executive coaches, and that has been super wonderful. In fact, you've heard Sue McLeod has been on the podcast, and she's someone I've worked with. Bethany Dufour of Melee Group is another person that I return to work with as a coach. So having, it could be coaches who are there to support you. Trusted clients. Again, you've heard, these are people that, like I mentioned, I have this secret project that I'm working on and super excited about for this year for Point Road Studios. Well, I've certainly taken this idea that I'm percolating on and brought drafts of it to some of my trusted clients to get their feedback on, hey, what do you think of this? How could I make this, this service most impactful for someone like you? So really having those partners at work. And then the third area for me under people who matter is creative community. And this for me is, I know as somebody who's kind of always walked that line between, corporate professional and artist, and really sat primarily in my work life in that organizational life, corporate life, more often than not, that having structure to access the artistic side of myself is really important. And so there's a couple ways that I'll look to tap into this from time to time. I mean, one is just having great art stores and places that I can go into and talk in my neighborhood of Hyattsville, Maryland. There's Artists and Craftsmen, and the people who work in that store are awesome. So it's fun to go in there and have that be a space that promotes learning. There's also in Hyattsville places like Pyramid Arts, which is another cool spot. There's SoHi Collective, which is all of the small business owners in the neighborhood, and that's awesome. I've also tapped into WeWork. So that is, no matter where you are, WeWork is probably there or coming. So it's a co-working space. I've actually never joined and been a part where I'm going to the space on the regular, but it's a place I follow along with them. I've been in and out of different events that they've had, and I just love what they're promoting within an entrepreneurial spirit, and also seeing how as they develop, and they have locations all over the world, and then they'll have multiple, like in my native Washington, D.C., there are several co-working spaces that they've developed and how each one has its own personality. And so I love seeing how there's kind of these distinct creative communities. Makeshift Society is another one. It actually was a co-working space first in the Bay Area in San Francisco, and then they opened up in Brooklyn. Sadly, the co-working spaces ended up folding, but there's still a email listserv that exists. And as somebody who does not love having her inbox filled with emails, it's one that I still cherish because when people write on that, or I know I can reach out to that group, it's just a really great resource. So I think about that one. And Creative Mornings is another one that's all over the place that if you haven't checked out, is definitely worth checking out. And that's a way that for free, it's volunteer run, you can go and listen to really great talks every month. And there's free coffee and donuts usually, or some variation thereof. And it's a great way to get out and be in a creative community. So those, when I think about people who matter, I'm thinking about, okay, who is my tribe? Who are my partners in work? And am I cultivating creative communities that are really helping keep me tapped into that inner artist? Okay, so that's on the people who matter front. Now let's get into some tactical tools. So here are some of the tools that I love that really help me in my business and in my life, because the two are always really intertwined. So first, Zoom. I cannot believe it took me so long to get on this platform. So Zoom is a video and also has phone component resource for things like having virtual meetings. You can also run webinars. You can do it for one-on-one. You can do it for group. I had used tools like Google Hangouts. I used Skype. I used FaceTime. Zoom is so much better than any of those. I use it absolutely for client meetings, whether for kind of project management and working with partners on that side of the business, but also for a lot of my coaching, I'll work one-on-one with clients that way. And whether it's a client who's in San Francisco or Connecticut, or, you know, not that far away from me here in the DC area, it's so wonderful. And I really feel like I'm right there with that person. And then I also now, even though I think my friends could give me a little bit of trouble about this, I'll use this for friend dates. So I've got three young children. I'm an early riser. I don't, you know, I'm not going out that often. And it's, you know, I recognize that in the season of life that I'm in, spending time in person with friends is something that I do far less than I did, let's say, in my 20s. And I still want that part of my life. And so one way that I've been able to kind of reinvent what that looks like is having evening friend dates over Zoom. So I feel like I'm seeing them really nicely. Like, all the things that make me like it for my client meetings also make it really nice for connecting with my friends. So Zoom, as you can tell, I'm a huge advocate. By the way, none of these tools are sponsoring the podcast. This is just me speaking to you about what I love. So Zoom. Next up, I wanted to talk about having a virtual assistant, which I mentioned above. I've been working with the vendor Zirtual. I'm only a month in, so I don't know that I can speak around everything that I'm thinking about Zirtual. But one of the reasons I went through a service versus hiring a virtual assistant on my own is just it eliminated the need to go through the hiring, or if I need to at any point firing or transitioning to someone who would be a better fit. All of the legal and HR are embedded in. And so that's really nice. I just don't have to think about that. And here's the thing. I hired a virtual assistant for having the ability to delegate. So I mentioned before that when I was focusing in on what was important for me in my work and life this year, I knew I needed help. And my virtual assistant can help me. I hired her primarily to help on the business front, but you can also use a virtual assistant for life. And I have found that I am doing both and just kind of testing the waters. Probably my biggest takeaway a month into working with a virtual assistant is that it has really helped me figure out where I need help and helped me clarify where I also might need more thoughtful expertise than a virtual assistant can provide. So it's back to that, what I've said already, like the key starting point, whether managing a difficult conversation or setting up a system of support or delegating to a virtual assistant, you've got to know what it is that you really need help on, what it is that you really want before you can make the request. And what I have found as I'm kind of holding lightly what it's like to work with this virtual assistant and what, you know, what success will look like is I'm learning as I go. You know, I realized as I got into it that to get her help on some things, I had to have all kinds of systems set up to make it more efficient and effective and to be actually able to set her up for success. And so I let go of the expectation that in this first month we needed to, check off all kinds of things on the boxes. And I realized, gosh, part of what we're going to do is create the training guide for any time I'm onboarding someone new into the business. And I'm also going to create the infrastructure so that some of these things that took us a long time to get started are easy for somebody else to step in. So I'm loving having a virtual assistant. I'm loving the process of being able to delegate, and I'm quite certain that this is the first of many places where I'm going to be bringing in people to help, because it's been huge. And I like that I'm starting small. This is not somebody who's working for me 40 hours a week. I can contract and scale up the support as needed. And again, that's one of the reasons I like working with a place like Zirtual. Okay, next up, Asana. Asana is a productivity management tool, and I'm obsessed with it. The version of it that I use is free, and I should say the Zoom platform that I pay, that I use, is a paid. It's circa $150 a year, so it's not that expensive. Sometimes when I've done webinars, I'll pay a surcharge for month by month as needed. Virtual assistant, that's paid, as you might imagine. The Asana tool has a paid version, which I may at some point look into, but I'm currently using the free version, and it's so awesome. I've used tools like Basecamp and Trello pretty extensively. I tried out Todoist and kind of fell out of it. It wasn't something that actively drew me in, but I really like Asana, and it helps me organize around work. It allows me, as somebody who works with partners who are not full-time in the business, so the virtual assistant, for example, but then also people like the designer, John Flannery of Cryptogram, that I work with on a lot of different design elements and other resources like that, that I can bring them into the project management tool. And it's so intuitive that you just pick it up right away. The virtual assistant I work with had actually not worked with Asana before, and it was very easy for us to hit the ground running on that front. So I'm a huge fan. The other way I know it really works is that my husband Colin and I have tried many different ways to manage the business that is our family. And that's included using a Slack channel. Gosh, there was some now out of date software on a website that we used. We've tried different things, and they all kind of start and then fizzle out pretty quickly. But Asana, we're actively using together, and my husband loves it so much that he has now got his own version that he's using to manage his work projects. So it's awesome. Love Asana. Big fan. Next up is G Suite, previously known as Google Work, but this is where I get my email, my calendar, my docs, my drive, and I love it. And in fact, it's kind of funny, but I have three different versions of G Suite that I'm using because of other partners that I work with, and I can move between the three super easy. I can get access wherever I am. I'm a big fan of G Suite. So, email is, it feels inevitable at this point, but then having Drive allows me to share files, and I can choose which files I'm sharing. Docs is a simple way to be editing live with people, and calendar is really how I know where to show up. If it's not on my calendar, it does not exist. So this is just everyday stuff that I'm managing. And then the other thing I wanted to say is that podcasts are a big part of kind of how I learn. And even though it's not necessarily a tool that I'm updating, it is something that, like, kind of an information stream that I'm accessing on the regular. There are blogs and news resources and things that I'll tap into from time to time, but the regular place that I am kind of taking in fresh new ideas is through podcasts. And so I thought I would just share with you all the ones that I'm currently subscribed to and looking at on the regular. And that is Young House Love has a podcast, The Lively Show, which, funnily enough, Sherry Petersick from Young House Love has a podcast, was just on that show. And I thought, my worlds are colliding. The Being Boss podcast is great. You've heard me talk about that one before. In fact, the two women behind that helped me really kind of catalyze me to create this podcast. HBR Women at Work. This is a relatively new podcast, and it is awesome. HBR also has, I think it's called an Idea Cast, that from time to time I've subscribed to. The frequency at which content came out ultimately led me to not stay subscribed, but I do check that out from time to time. But HBR Women at Work amazing, thoughtful, really well done. And man, it kind of blows my mind. I'm really loving it. If you want a good place to start, either look at Mind the Wage Gap, or which is real people, really real, and also Authenticity at Work. Those are both excellent. How I Built This, amazing. You know, I really feel a kinship in what I do here on this podcast with what that podcast is about. And by design, I am both sharing ideas, but also talking to people who are in much smaller businesses. There you're going to hear How I Built This, like Patagonia, Eileen Fisher, really big names. And it's, I find super inspiring. And then the last one that I'm subscribed to that I really enjoy is A Well-Designed Business. So like Young House Love has a podcast that's really more interior design or home design focused, but then there's all the other stuff that shows up in a podcast based on the humans. And Luann, the host of that podcast, she's got a good energy. It did take me a little while to get into it, but the people that she has on, the way she owns her expertise, super fun and inspiring. So those are some podcasts that I'm listening to on the regular that I really love. All right. So then I'm not going to go as in depth on these ones, but I also did want to just call out some of the other business administration tools that I use so that if you're thinking or you've come across some of these, that you know that, that these are things that I am also using and finding helpful, or maybe you're just looking for inspiration. So I use LastPass as a way to be able to have secure passwords and not have to remember what all of them are. I must admit, I found it somewhat onerous to set up because I did not have the greatest password. So I was going through and changing, and, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I get used to just my password saved on my computer, which I'm sure some security guru will tell me is terrible, but I just couldn't, having to go through the process of getting all of my data into LastPass meant I had to log out and remember, and that meant a lot of resetting my passwords. But once you can get past that, it's super great. And I know it's one of those things that is really critical for kind of setting myself up for growth. So I feel really good to be doing it. Anyway, so that's been great. MailChimp is what I use for my newsletters and managing my mailing list. Love it. Super easy and intuitive. I'm sure there's lots more that I can learn in this space, but I, for kind of basic needs, it was easy to get started. Dropbox. Now I have, as I mentioned earlier, G Suite, which I'm using for Drive. That's primarily where I will transfer and share files. I think of it as almost like my digital foldering system, but Dropbox is a place where it's something bigger, or I find I work with a lot of collaborators who might also be using it. So I'll just share things through there. I don't keep that much there. It's nothing saved permanently, but it's more like a file sharing space that I use. SoundCloud is where I go to share this podcast. First and foremost, it's how it gets into iTunes and all that good stuff. So that's a place that I enjoy leveraging there. Wave Apps is the financial software that I use to manage everything that's coming in and going out. It's really how I manage the back-end finances of Point Road Studios. I have looked at FreshBooks and I hear great things about it. I could imagine shifting, but Wave Apps is free. And so that's awesome. And FreshBooks costs a little bit every month. And I have gone back and forth on if I'm going to change, is it FreshBooks or is it actually for me QuickBooks, which is certainly feels less intuitive and beautiful, but it is an industry standard. So Wave Apps works for me for now. And I know at some point in the future, I may be looking for something different, but that's what works for me now. And then the last one I wanted to reference is just Hootsuite, which is how, as I have gotten more into having a digital presence, a way to help automate and streamline sharing content that I care about, but in a way that I'm not bombarding people at, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning when I would usually be up and thinking about it when most of my community is still asleep. So that is what I wanted to share with you all today. Geeking out on systems for support. Headline is yes, ask for help. And once you've figured out what it is that you want and what will help you, make sure that you build an ease-filled way around getting access to it. Now, before I officially close, I just want to put out there that as you can see, I get super jazzed about tools and resources for support. So if you have tools that you love to use, please reach out. If you head over to pointroadstudios.com, there's a contact section that will come straight to me. I would love to hear what you're up to, or you could send me a tweet over at Point Road Studios, point like a pencil point, road RD and studios with an S. So anyway, I would love to hear what kind of tools you all are up to. All right. So with that, dear listeners, a big thank you for tuning in. A couple things I want to share before I officially hit pause in terms of how we can stay connected, give a few shout outs, and that sneak preview, as I promised, around next week's podcast episode, which will announce the podcast, the theme for me for March. So for show notes with links, tools, books, resources, all these things that I've referenced today, head over to pointroadstudios.com. You can also connect with me on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter under the handle Point Road Studios. And if you're over on the website, definitely consider subscribing to our newsletter community. You'll get a monthly newsletter and be able to stay up to date on the podcast interviews, all of the content over here aimed at spreading the design yourself spirit. All right. Now, coming up next week, the topic, my friends, the theme for March is center. Center. I'm recognizing that I've even had this thought of, you know, maybe I'll go back and forth each month, like one month being more of a grounding, more spiritual or kind of presence oriented way of approaching things. And then maybe the next month will allow me to really tap into my love of checking things off and to-do lists and productivity and goals. And that may still be the case. But as I shift back to more of that space of being, of center, what I am recognizing is that it feels like a really needed balance to the other. And so I'm excited, having been tapped into focus and recognizing that that focus really shifted more towards the goals and getting things done, then kind of letting go and just being in the practice of being, that giving myself a month that is really focused on center, I think is going to be a huge support. And as I get ready to head out to Alt Summit in Palm Springs, I am hoping to get a good head start on letting go and letting be and finding that space of center. A big, big thank you to Colin Phillips, my dear husband, for his skilled audio engineering and interlude music, to John Flannery of Cryptogram for his cover art design, to the Dismemberment Plan for the show's intro and outro music from one of my personal favorite songs, Following Through, and of course, to you. Thank you as ever for listening. I am wishing each of you a beautiful week ahead. And until next time, remember, there is nothing stopping you. So go on ahead and get after whatever it is that you really want.